But first, the sporting paradox. How much is too much? And after a certain age, do you have to be more careful with your fragile physicality? The enormous growth in grassroots masters sports is a healthy development for ageing players. But it can also place more people at risk, particularly those who love to go hard, just like they used to when they were young. Three guests who've all been touched by tragedy of this kind are part of a campaign to save lives. They want defibrillators in all local sports clubs. Let's meet Andy Paskalides, a former SBS sportscaster, who watched his 43-year-old teammate Matt Richardson collapse and die on the footy field, and so was inspired to start this campaign. We'll also hear from Jen Rafati, whose 46-year-old husband died while playing weekend football, and Dr. Shiva Roy, a cardiologist in Sydney. I started by asking Andy what happened that day when Matt collapsed on the field.
Remember it well. We played a game together at Gannon's Park for Forest Rangers for our team, and then our A's were short players. And the week before, I put my hand up to double up, which tends to happen in over 35s and 45s, which probably shouldn't happen. And Matt said, "No, look, I'll start this game." And there's something wrong at halftime. In retrospect, you sensed something wasn't right, that he was fatigued, we felt. But then I was off the pitch attending to one of our players that was injured, and I just noticed that he collapsed in the background, and we knew it was serious. We thought that he'd swallowed his tongue. But we knew that it was extremely serious. So everyone looked around, and unfortunately, you know, they looked at me for leadership, and I'm not CPR trained, so I couldn't assist in that capacity. And thankfully, Mark Maverick from the opposition team, he jumped in and performed CPR and stayed with him right to the end. So it was tough. It was very tough.
How long did it take for the ambulance to arrive?
It felt like an eternity. And this is the thing, you know, if you have a defib there, it gives that player every chance, a greater chance of which Shiva can explain. It felt like 15 minutes. There was a surgeon who was walking his dog that jumped in just as the ambulance got there, and he told me straight that he felt that Matt would have 10 to 15% chance of survival. He was en route to St George Hospital, where he was declared that he'd passed.
And Jen, you lost your husband the same way less than 12 months ago. It's very good of you to share your story like this morning to try and raise awareness in this important campaign. Can you tell me, was there any indication that Em and your husband might have been at risk of a heart attack?
No, not at all, Ellen. He was fit. He exercised regularly, jogging several times a week, playing soccer, did a corporate sort of physical every year, checked his blood pressure regularly because he wanted to be around for his young children. So, and Emin was the sort of person that if he didn't feel well, he wouldn't have played. That was a fear of probably, you know, any man with young children is not being there. So he did look after his health. So when we were told what happened, it was an absolute massive shock.
Yeah. He was just 46 years old. He had a cardiologist, didn't he?
He had a cardiologist many years ago because he had some anxiety attacks, which I put down to you're turning 40, you're just about to become a dad, yeah. No wonder, and was kind of given the all clear. He'd lost some weight after seeing the cardiologist, gave up salt, and even when I spoke to her after the event, she was very surprised because there were no triggers.
And so where was he when this happened?
He was playing with his football club, St Ives, and he'd played for them for around 11 years, and they were playing the first match of the season last year at Waverton Oval. And he'd played the first match, like Andy said, sort of felt great, wanted to play again, and was running along the field with one of his soccer mates, and there was some shenanigans apparently going on at the sideline. They were laughing about it. And then Emin just collapsed His mate thought he was mucking around and pretending to have a snooze on the field, and then very quickly went, there's something wrong here. They started CPR immediately, called Triple O, and they worked on him for a while, but was pronounced dead at the hospital.
And where were you? You know, you don't tend to watch your husband play footy. You watch your kids, don't you? Where were you?
Working full-time mum who's got time to watch husbands play football. Typical Saturday. Taking the kids to swimming, doing the shopping, a bunch of things like that. And was sitting down for a cup of tea, an afternoon tea with the kids. They were only 6 and 3 at the time. And had a phone call, which sort of didn't expect, and was told he'd collapsed and was taken to Royal North Shore Hospital and could I get down there? And part of me probably in the back of my mind went, maybe he's in intensive care or maybe, he's on life support. That was kind of the message that I got. But when you got to the hospital and you walk in and they say, I'll just come down here and take you into a bit of the lounge room. As soon as I got there, it was like, if I'm in this room, this isn't good news.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And did the kids have an opportunity to say goodbye to him that day?
Absolutely. In retrospect, I'm glad they were with me. And it gave them the opportunity to say goodbye to their father. That's probably something they won't necessarily remember given how young they are. But, that's something I can share with them and tell them that, yet they did have the opportunity to say goodbye.
Yes, they were there and they did hold his hand and they did
Correct.
Say goodbye.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jen. We'll talk to Shiva now. Shiva, the thing I'm sure about Matt Richardson and about Jen's husband is they loved the game of football. Mm. They were older guys who had rediscovered the joy of playing footy, and you've done the same. You're playing Masters football now. What? Tell me about the thrill of it. Who do you play for?
Ellen, I played for Queen's Park in the eastern suburbs. I started playing again about 3 years ago, having been an okay soccer player as a kid.
Now you're very good, I hear.
I think that's pretty. That's a pretty bold-faced lie. What happened about? In 2013, I heard about a team called the Dockeroos. So the Dockeroos are an Australian doctors' soccer team.
Very good.
And there's an international competition just for doctors every year. But in the year of the World Cup of soccer, that team plays in the country of the World Cup. So here I was in my mid-40s, thought I was an okay soccer player when I was younger, hearing about the opportunity to play soccer in Brazil in 2014.
So who could resist?
Yes, how can you resist that? So I tried out and embarrassed myself against these semi-professional young gun soccer players. But luckily for me, for the first time in this competition, there was an over 45s competition. So I participated in that and have been since. Have been playing in the eastern suburbs and, as you point out, loving it.
Mm.
Loving the game. It's been good for me, and I see the same story in a lot of my peers playing football in my age group. They're coming back to the game and it's generally good for their health. Those are incredibly moving and distressing stories we've just heard. They are rare, and as you mentioned in your introduction, that's one of these paradoxes. You have a higher chance of events, sudden cardiac death. Sometimes there's some warning signs, and sadly, in the story of Jen's husband, there's no warning. But on a population level, that type of exercise, especially frequent intense exercise, has a huge impact in reducing cardiovascular morbidity and mortality.
So it's a good thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess that's one of the messages we'd like to convey. We don't want to be alarmist and scare people off participation. To exercise frequently is good for your health, there's no doubt. Like we hear every day, there's so much public health motivation to point out the difficulties with obesity. Australia has 60% of the population are either overweight or obese, and there's all these public health campaigns to participate in activity, to do even moderate regular exercise or to sit less. So those are all important public health messages, and it will be important for us in our campaign to bring cardiac awareness to the football population to encourage participation and not scare people off.
So in the wintertime when you're standing at Queen's Park with your footy boots on and looking out over all those, they call them masters players, they've just been old, how do you know, I can hear you laughing there, Jen, how do you know which people should be screened, which people are vulnerable? How do they know if they want to get active? How do you figure out who to screen, what to do?
Look, it's a great question, and screening people is a controversial area. So if I look at the cross-section of people on a football field, it's extremely worrying. You know, some of my teammates are having a cigarette before the game, and it really puts the fear of God into me. If you have any history of heart disease, you need to be checked by a medical practitioner. If you have symptoms of heart disease, and I've heard from Andy subsequent to his friend's Matt Richardson's death that he probably had some symptoms.
He had some signs.
He had chest pain that was concerning prior to his tragic event. If you have any symptoms, things like chest pain, breathlessness, palpitations, lightheadedness, blackouts, then those are all red flags for requiring a medical check. Now, that should start with your GP, and those sort of symptoms really require fairly formal cardiac assessment.
And just briefly, Andy, is there also an issue? I mean, not so much with Jen's husband, who was obviously very fit, but where you have men and women coming back to the game thinking, oh, I was terrific when I was 18, I'm only 48 now, I'll just go hard.
I see it. And no doubt I'll see it again this season as a registered player again in Matt's memory we play on. And mind you, I think doubling up should be
that's playing
prevented.
Games back to back.
Yep, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah,
I think over 35s, 45s football should be reduced to 3/3 of 20 minutes. I don't believe tackling should be allowed in over 35s, 45s football, because you see players, it's like, you know, a bull coming out of the gate. You know, you see some of these guys sprint to try and win a 50-50 ball, and that puts extra pressure on you. And I think we should look at some subtle changes down the track, and that's one for the people that run the game.
Now, Jen, you make the excellent point that you've worked in corporate offices across Australia for years where people sit down all day, and there's defibrillators left and right. And there's none on the sporting field.
Absolutely. It's kind of ironic, really. You know, we sit in offices and, you know, the first aid kit and there's a defibrillator on the wall. And I've probably been more aware of it if I go into offices in Australia. I look and go, oh, there's a defibrillator. And yet on our sporting fields, there are none. Or they're very rare, I should say. And it's not just, I think, you know, the over 35s or the masters of the game that are collapsing on the field in either cardiac arrest or heart failure. It's happened to young kids as well, late teenagers. So, you know, putting defibs on the field may give them that extra chance of survival that they would not have otherwise had.
And in fact, Andy, you're holding programs in your hand from funerals. Who's the youngest person?
Mark Akuru is the youngest at 15, Kodjo Jasu at 24. And the other players in their 40s and 50s.
But I want to know, Shiva, so, okay, we'll come to how to get defibrillators and fund them and all that, but let's say you've got a defibrillator. Does that necessarily mean that you stop these deaths on the field?
Well, not 100%, but you certainly vastly reduce your chance of bad outcomes if you have a defibrillator.
How does it work? Where is it, and do you bring it to the patient? What would happen?
So, look, that is variable where you can accommodate these devices, but ideally it's close by to the field. Ellen, there was a move in the last couple of years by FIFA to have these AEDs, automatic external defibrillators, in backpacks for every competitive game. Now, that may not be feasible in a community environment, but if you have a device in easy access, then it is has been clearly demonstrated that you have a vastly improved chance of survival compared to calling an ambulance where there may be a significant delay before you can get advanced life support.
And if I had one of these backpacks and I'm just and I'd read about it beforehand. I had a vague idea how to use it. Would I be able to use it?
Yeah. So there's some pretty clear data that a very limited amount of training or even no training, you can still use these devices effectively. Compared, if you line up a teenage kid with no training to a trained paramedic, it's a matter of 20 to 30 seconds difference in being able to use these things effectively.
Couple of quick questions. Andy, you're on fire with this thing. $300,000 you've raised from Corporate Australia. What's your ambition?
The ambition, obviously, is to get everyone out there as safe and secure as possible on a football field. But we are not exclusive.
Every sporting field.
Yeah. The mission is to get defibs out. But CPR training, health and awareness, legacy of the families, they're strategic sort of things that we looked at. We had our first committee meeting last night. Shiva was there. Jem was in Melbourne, obviously. We had amazing feedback. And in an Australian first, there will be a Zap Stan, a defib 24/7 place.
Zap Stan,
yeah,
I love
it. It's a huge item that is automated. It's secure. It responds to a call centre. It releases the defib and that alerts the ambulance. It will be placed outside Jubilee Oval at Cogra, and one will be in the Players' Race, a smaller version.
Okay,
that will be the first stadium to have that set up.
And that's in Sydney. A caller's just rung to say that St John's Ambulance in Victoria has been giving defibrillators to small sporting clubs since 2012. So Victoria's already on to
this. The Victorian
this.
Government have rolled out a $3 million move on defibs into sporting groups as well.
And also a part of this, Jen, is giving support to those people who've lost families. The numbers are astonishing. 9 players died on football pitches in Sydney and the Central Coast alone in 2014 and 15. And in January this year, ABC TV producer Jez D'Souza died while playing a veterans competition. You've been reaching out to other people who've lost family members and talking about grieving. Tell me how your son is grieving for his father. At six, he wanted to speak at the funeral, huh?
Yeah, he was very adamant that he wanted to speak at Daddy's funeral, and I was trying to. He's like, "Mummy, I want to say something," and I kind of had to do the, "Sweetheart, it's not like school news. You don't get to hold up a picture, and you don't get questions." You know, trying to get him to understand. And I was in the middle of something. I went, "You know, here's a piece of paper. Go away and write something." Thinking he you know, it was just a passing thought. He was adamant. He wrote something down, and he stood up in front of 400 people and read it. The regret that I have is that I never copied what he wrote. I didn't take a photo of it or I didn't scan it. It's buried with his father, which is where it should be. But, you know, he understands. And I was worried about him, and that was probably my fears, because he plays soccer. And his first soccer match was sort of 2 weeks, 3 weeks after his father passed away. So I was worried, was he going to get, "Oh, Mummy, am I going to, you know, have a heart attack, or am I, you know, is my heart going to stop while I play soccer?" But he didn't. He loves it, and he still plays soccer. And it's one way, you know, he remembers his dad, or "I scored a goal, Dad would have been happy." And we talk about his father all the time to remember what he was like.
We heard there from Jen Rafati, from Dr. Shiva Roy, and from Andy Pascalidis on their campaign to get defibrillators in all local sports clubs in Australia. I'm Ellen Fanning. You're listening to Life Matters.